Yesterday, we set the stage for this conversation today. And listen to some of these headlines. America's crushing surge of student debt has bred a disturbing new phenomenon. And what they're talking about here basically is multi-generational. Parents that are still trying to pay off their student debt and unable to really, the way it has been traditional, perhaps help their kids with their education. This one, the student debt crisis solution, is one of the headlines here. This one, student loans bankrupting the American dream. That was in Forbes, if I remember correctly. I've seen others. One person said that one article said not long ago that the student loan debt, which we are now measuring over $1 trillion, is one of the most substantial drags on the economy. We were getting email yesterday and texts yesterday of people saying that they were paying student debt of $500 a month, $1,000 a month. And for many people, next to their rent, it is their most expensive payment each and every month, more than their car payment, more than food. Wow. So we are very pleased to have Kevin Fudge joining us right now, Manager of Government Relations and Community Affairs with the American Student Assistance. This is based in Boston. And Mr. Fudge, thank you for joining us here at KSL.
Thanks for having me, Doug. Pleasure.
Give us a little of your background, your organization's background, and what your role is in trying to deal with this phenomenon.
Sure. Our organization started out as the Massachusetts Higher Education Assistance Corporation over 50 years ago. And actually, we made the first Stafford loan and sort of the model by which the federal loan program exists today. So our focus is mostly on helping families figure out how to plan and pay for college and then manage their debt if they take it on as a part of paying for their school. And really look at educating people both at all stages, so before they go to school, during school, and then after school, and developing financial competencies, not just for college, but for life beyond college as well.
We all like these silver bullets that here's the problem and here's what we need to do with it. It seems to me that this is so multifaceted, but is there something or some things that have so dramatically changed over the last several decades or the last generation or so that has led us to this position?
I mean, the concept of working through school has changed. So, for example, if you and I went to school back, I don't know, let's say 30 years ago, we could work our way through school by paying each semester. So you have a summer job, you have enough for the fall semester, and then you work, winter break, and then you have enough to go back in the spring. So that concept, I mean, just to be clear, I'm talking about public universities. Private universities, kind of another story, but to pay for a public university, people used to be able to work their way through school. Mm-hmm. That concept is largely a thing of the past, unfortunately. Just for example, so at the University of Massachusetts, it's roughly $25,000 a year. And, if you build that out over 4 years, I mean, that's $100,000. $100,000 for a bachelor's degree at a public institution. It's unheard of, 30 years ago. And if you were to tell somebody that would be the case now, I mean, they'd probably look at you and laugh.
Yeah, I remember when $20,000 might be the total bill for a pretty decent education at a state school. So here's the question, and I read this a lot, and I hear a lot of comments, and whether it's anecdotal or whether there's actually something to this, that because student loans are so readily available, because there has been a mindset to take student loans, that has given kind of a two-prong thing. One, institutions of higher learning now are much less reticent to increase their tuitions and the costs associated with the education because they know that the students can get the loans, and a resistance to going out and trying to maintain some kind of a part-time, even though somewhat limited, job because the student loan is so readily available and some kids just see it as free money. Is there truth to that?
So let me take that a little bit apart, piece by piece. So I'll talk about the student perspective first. So because student loans are considered financial aid, and when a student gets an award letter, you have grants, scholarships, and loans, and they're all lumped together. oftentimes there's not a distinction made between what is free money, meaning that I don't have to pay this back, and money that eventually I will have to pay back. Because most students and families, when they're looking at their bill, they're looking at what is the total, what is my outlay, meaning that less whatever the total cost of the school is minus the aid, what is then the balance? And oftentimes, if you have financial aid that includes student loans, that balance is zero. So psychologically, somebody's going to look at that zero and say, well, I don't have to pay anything for school. Great, I have a full ride. But keep in mind, a full ride at a college or university that offers student loans as part of its financial aid is going to cost the student $27,000 upon graduating. And so part of that is financial literacy and education, and one of the ways our organization really attempts to do that is our program called SALT, where we partner with over 300 schools in delivering that financial competency and literacy to current students through student ambassadors to their fellow peers, and really help them understand, you know, what exactly is this? What is your loan? What are your repayment terms? What does public service loan forgiveness mean? So that they understand that there's tools available and options available to them once they already have the debt. Versus kind of like, now I have all this debt and I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. It's really giving people that confidence that they can manage their debt successfully. And if I were to speak about the school's perspective, you know, in my experience in talking with financial aid offices, there's kind of a disconnect between, you know, what their expectations are of families and what families expect from the schools. And there's sort of these competing goals. So you have the school on the one hand wants to enroll as many students as possible so they make their number so they can keep the lights on. And so the school will say, well, you know, if you have an extra $10,000, well, why don't you refinance your home? Why don't you borrow? And they're not really thinking, well, what does that mean to that particular family? Can that family even afford it? In most cases, they're not thinking, well, can this family afford it or not? Because, again, they're trying to meet their number. Whereas on the other side, the student, whether they're an adult learner or, you know, somebody just graduating from high school, sitting down at the table with their parents and discussing their options, they're like, well, the school didn't give me enough money. How can I get the school to give me more money or demonstrate either through my grades or through my athletics that, you know, I'm worthy of more money, and can you make it possible? Because this extra $10,000 you're asking me to borrow is going to be a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you sort of bridge that divide, part of the problem is bridging that gap between, you know, families' expectations and college expectations of families, and then, you know, just in society in general, viewing as higher education as a public good, so we have more investment in our public two-year colleges and four-year colleges.
Kevin, I don't know what your time frame is and whether you'd be available for another short segment, but if you are, I'd like to talk about what families that are up to their eyeballs can do. Could you do that with us?
Absolutely. Sure.
All right. We'll take just a brief break here for our news at the bottom of the hour. Kevin Fudge on the line with us, Manager of Government Relations and Community Affairs with American Student Assistance. We'll talk about that very issue. For those families that are in some of these scenarios, what are the options?
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So don't delay. Call General Steel today at 888-98-STEEL. That's 888-98-STEEL. Need more planning? No problem. General Steel can help you with that right now. Call General Steel and be in your new building this year. 888-98-STEEL. That's 888-987-8335.
It is 11:31 here at KSL News Radio. Cleon Wall is standing by in the KSL 24-hour news center with our lead story.
Doug, three Far West children find their mom unresponsive this morning before they leave for school. She eventually died, and now the woman's live-in boyfriend is being questioned in her death. The Weber County Sheriff's Department says they had been called to the mobile home a couple of times on reports of domestic violence. The couple also got into a fight last night. An ordinance being proposed in Salt Lake County is getting a lot of support from animal advocates. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has the details.
The ordinance makes it unlawful for any retail store to sell or barter any dog, cat, or rabbit unless it came from an organization recognized as an animal shelter. The Humane Society of Utah fully backs it. They say it could help ease pet overpopulation and curb the activity of so-called puppy mills that breed puppies knowing they have health problems.
Officials with the Humane Society say a quarter of their animals are purebred since the animals were first brought at a pet bought at a pet store, then taken to a shelter. KSL's top national story this hour from ABC News. There's sunshine in South Carolina today, but the state is still reeling from historic rainfall and flash floods. Officials saying it will take weeks to return to normal.
Next 36 to 48 hours are going to be a time that we need to continue to be careful, just because there is no rain and just because the sun is out, we are now looking at downstream.
Governor Nikki Haley requested help from the federal government today. Other national stories KSL is following. The head of Amtrak says all those injured when a passenger train hit a rock in Vermont are out of the hospital. Yesterday's derailment sent the locomotive and a passenger coach down an embankment. Meanwhile, Amtrak passengers in Vermont are being carried by bus. Your money at this moment, the Dow Jones Industrials is up 31 points, but the NASDAQ is down 38 points. Could see another few rain showers today, but then it starts to clear up. We'll check your KSL weather forecast next. KSL News Time is 11:33.
Brian Martin here with Utah's Morning News. Check out all the places you can find breaking KSL news. KSL.com, on the KSL app, and of course, in your car at KSL News Radio.
Hasn't this weather been crazy? Boy, tons of rain, cold, and then a little warmer, and that's how it'll be for the next little while. But you know, your number's up. It's time to get that furnace taken care of. Have somebody go through it who really knows what they're doing, like Scott Hale Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Right now, they have a great deal, $39 19-point furnace tune-up, only $39. The cold season, really cold season, is just around the corner, so make sure your furnace is ready, ready to keep you and your family warm, not only this autumn, but in those cold, cold winter months ahead. By the way, this is also a perfect time to have Scott Hale Plumbing, Heating, and Air take care of the slow-running drains in your home, or maybe you have one that's just flat plugged up. Give them a call at 264-HALE or go to scotthale.com. They have a $59 special in effect right now. They'll make sure that that drain is running beautifully before they leave, and it's $59. Again, get all the information at scotthale.com.
I am so glad that the kids are back in school and I have my daily routine back. I'm finally going to get into MD Diet and start a plan that they will design specifically for me to get me feeling and looking like I want to. My MD Diet journey starts now.
MD Diet has locations in Salt Lake and Orem. Call 801-293-3100 or visit mddietclinic.com for more information. That's 801-293-3100. Call now. New MD Diet customers will get $50 off the initial sign-up fee. Call 801-293-3100 for MD Diet.
Did you know that Mattress Deals is Utah's largest mattress retailer? With over 75 models guaranteed in stock and available for pickup, they have it all and at the absolute best value in Utah. Right now, Mattress Deals has 25 different queen-size mattress models for less than $500. Twin starting at $49, memory foam starting at $99, Sealy Posturepedic starting at $259, and the Sealy Optimum Memory Queen Size for as low as $999. With five locations along the Wasatch Front, come into a Mattress Deals today. You'll sleep well tonight.
Here are three numbers that'll blow your mind. There are 2,728 rules in the Social Security Handbook. There are 567 different ways to claim your benefits. And because this stuff is so complicated, $10 billion in benefits go unclaimed every year. And don't think the Social Security Administration is going to hold your hand and help you with your decision. You are totally on your own. The only way to get back every nickel that's rightfully yours is with a free report called the Social Security Decisions Guide from Boss Retirement Solutions here in Salt Lake. It's packed full of information. To get your free report, be one of the first 10 callers right now at 801-682-4448. It's free. so you've got nothing to lose. 801-682-4448. 801-682-4448.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by your Utah Toyota dealers. Here's Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
Well, after what was kind of a crazy early portion of our drive during the morning and then early into the midday, we're actually pretty calm now. Even traffic on I-15 in Layton at the Hillfield Road exit, most of that water has drained off the road or dried off, so you're not driving through any giant puddles or anything anymore. Speed's good, really, on all the freeways I see between Provo and Ogden, and haven't seen any new crashes pop up in a while. Beyond Glaze, great for family gatherings or any event. Give something that's as good to give as it is to receive. Donuts can be customizable. 5 locations, visit Tammy in the Ogden Beyond Glaze. Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
We've seen rain already today. Could see some more this afternoon, a high of 70. Cloudy and 73 tomorrow. More sun on Thursday with a high around 74. Right now, 64 degrees in Salt Lake City at 11:37. You get the top stories every 30 minutes. Breaking news the second it happens. I'm Cleon Wall, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
The most trusted and connected man in Utah.
Senator Kimson out of Charleston, South Carolina.
Thank you for having me.
Doug Wright.
We need to work together and put aside these petty differences and move forward as a state.
The Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
$1.2 trillion, that's the magic number. Remember that as we continue this conversation. A crushing surge of student debt now at $1.2 trillion. And it has bred a disturbing new phenomenon, school loans that span multiple generations within families. In other words, mom and dad are still struggling to pay off their student loans while they're trying to figure out what to do with their kids who want to go to college and what their options might be and what the family's finances can bear. $1.2 trillion. We have on the line with us, and I really appreciate Kevin Fudge agreeing to stay with us for one more segment, Manager of Government Relations and Community Affairs with the American Student Assistance based in Boston, Massachusetts. With this debt, this surge, this crushing drag on the economy, what are we to do for one of these families? They're still, mom and dad are 40-something years old now. They're still trying to pay off their student debt. Now little Johnny and Susie are, you know, wanting to go to college too, and they can't figure out how to make this work. What do they do?
Well, there's two things, Doug. I mean, the first thing is when you're in a hole, the first rule, stop digging. So put down the shovel if you're the parents and think about, all right, what are the lessons that I can take away from my experience in helping my kids if they're going to go to school? And by that, I mean, are we looking at exploring going to a two-year school first before going to a four-year school? If you're looking at colleges and trying to find out what's the right fit, are you just looking at an academic fit or social fit or athletic fit because you want to cheer for the sports teams? Or are you also looking at what is the right financial fit? Every family has a definition of affordability, and the earlier families start to have those kind of conversations, the better off you'll be when you start planning for the future for the next generation.
We have a great private school here in the state of Utah, Westminster, and I know a lot of the kids, and it's not inexpensive. I'll just be generous and say that. I've attended Westminster. And I found that many of the students up there, I was the non-traditional student, of course, at the time, but many of the younger traditional students had taken all of their generals at SLCC, Salt Lake mm-hmm. Community College, and then Westminster's really good about transferring, you know, credits up there. They wanted the sheepskin from Westminster, but boy, it's amazing how many of them got such a huge chunk of their credits elsewhere.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, I think you'll see across the country, more states are making it easier for students to transfer their credits, whether it is to a public university to complete a baccalaureate degree or whether it is to a private university. And that's a trend I think you'll start to increase and more reason for families to explore looking at two-year schools prior to. Because, I mean, the kind of the hidden secret in higher ed is that the first 2 years are pretty interchangeable. You know, I mean, it's not like you go to Harvard and you know, they dip the textbooks in gold and then they open them up and then everybody basks in the golden knowledge of your first 2 years.
Right.
Science is science. Math is math. And then most kids change their major 5, 6, 7 times before they settle on something. So, you know, unfortunately, the cost has taken sort of the exploration out of the college process. So do that at a two-year school, or maybe even take some time off before going to school. Taking time off and doing a gap year, it's not just for people with resources who want to send their kids to Machu Picchu. I mean, taking a year off can actually, you can do the National Service Program, AmeriCorps, and get the equivalent of a Pell Grant after a year of service, regardless of your income. So if you're of modest or even of high means, you can still qualify for this award, and some schools even match that. So, you know, the general rule, first rule, is to look at all the different alternative ways that you can work toward your degree while saving money. The second point I'd make is for how do parents manage their debt right now is just, I mean, people often ask me, what could, if you had a magic wand and you could like change the higher education industry, what would you do? You know, and obviously I'm just going to focus on student loans, and I would say that my wish would be that everybody would be in the appropriate repayment plan for them, meaning that if you were eligible for an income-driven plan, that you were in it. If you were eligible to be in public service loan forgiveness based on your profession, that you would be working towards that goal. If you were a military member returning from service and you were diagnosed with PTSD and you're eligible for a student loan discharge total based on your total and permanent disability, my hope is that you would get that. So it's everyone in their place and using the options that exist, because right now there's over 41 million borrowers who already have loans. A lot of the attention in the media gets focused on the $1.2 trillion, and rightfully so. And you know, other aspects of it, like when are college costs, or at what point are people going to rebel, and if a college hits $80,000, are people actually going to pay? When, you know, the focus actually should be on the people who already have debt, helping them manage that, helping people who are currently getting debt, acquiring it, develop financial competencies to deal with it, and then also exploring alternative means to getting credentials, to getting degrees. Those are all part of the solution. And, you know, we can debate back and forth, is it a crisis, is it not a crisis? But the what's happening on the ground is people are dealing with this, and we need to work to help them understand that you do have options and how to successfully manage it.
Is the degree, is the sheepskin as valuable as it once was? Many people who are now still trying to pay off the debt, and they kind of went for it. Boy, they went for that Ivy League. They went for the prestigious school. They went for the degree that they thought was going to be so hot. And they've found that they are struggling to even stay in the middle of the middle class, where they were, it seems in years past, you were practically guaranteed to be in the upper middle class, if not the upper class itself, with that kind of a degree.
Right. So I think this is kind of a tricky question, and I would answer it like this. I would look at surveys of current people in corporate America or any, you know, nonprofit, whatever industry, and ask and look at the surveys that where people say, did where you went to school. I mean, getting the degree, yes, but did where you went to school matter as much as you thought it did now 20 years later? And you would see the evidence would suggest that the majority of people would say that in the end, it's not so much where you go, it's what you do when you get there. So, you know, the returns on a college degree are fairly, you know, obvious, and the evidence suggests that that is true. I guess my only counter to that would be, well, is it because they got the degree, or because they had connections that led to the job? And I think it's challenging to, when you look at different eras, when there's more jobs in different fields. I mean, you could get in the middle class 50 years ago by, you know, being a machinist, mm-hmm. and having, you know, a manual labor or a manufacturing job. Now that those disappeared, I mean, we're talking about jobs in the knowledge economy. But I've been asking for years, like, what is a job in the knowledge economy? Somebody please define that for me. I mean, you know, people can talk about Silicon Valley, and, you know, we're going to tweet this and Uber that, but what are real substantial jobs that people can have and can train for, and do you need to go to college to get them? And so while that debate is happening, I would look at, you know, states that are trying to make their training programs more robust, you know, vocational schools, and then making that transition from vocational education to a two-year school, more partnerships between two-year schools and businesses. Because, again, you know, higher education, it's obviously valuable, and we want to continue it, but at some point people are going to start to ask the question, rightfully so, like, am I getting true value for this investment?
Sure.
And where else can I get some of these skills in order to support myself economically in the future?
Kevin, I've appreciated our conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us here at KSL News Radio. Is there a website or something that you would recommend for somebody who kind of wants to educate themselves on financing their education? Where do they go?
Absolutely. They can go to our website, asa.org, for more information. They can go to saltmoney.org for more information about SALT. And in general, the studentaid.ed.gov, the Department of Education's website, is very comprehensive with everything a family needs to know about grants, loans, how to repay and manage their college education.
Kevin, thanks so much for joining us here at KSL News Radio, where it is 11:46. When we come back, we've got a few things we didn't have a chance